I'll mute myself.
This meeting is being recorded.
There you go. Whenever you're ready, Nikita.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nikita Burns, and this is the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. I am calling to order in the Aberdeen Conservation District Commission public hearing to order at 4:03 p.m. on February 9th, 2023. Commissioners present are, let me just see, Helen Pillsbury. I believe we have Sharon.
Just you and Helen and Kirsten.
And Kirsten, awesome, sorry. As well as Kirsten Hoffman and staff member Nicholas Armada. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the July 16th, 2022 amendment extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31st, 2023. We are conducting these meetings online to ensure public access to deliberations of the Aberdeen Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. This hearing is being recorded. All further conversations between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing has adjourned. Are there any media or elected officials present? Hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hearing none. There are any, yeah.
Okay. So members of the public will be asked, will have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So the first item on the agenda today, give me one sec. We have a design review for 1954 Commonwealth Avenue. Let's see. And I think I am going to hand it over.
Okay. And before we hand it over, I just want to make a quick note. This property was recently approved approximately 2 years ago. They are here to renew their approval. There have been some delays in getting this project started. I will also disclose that there are some internal changes, and I'll let Matthew to discuss them briefly. But as a reminder to the commission, our only purview are the exterior elements of this project. So with that, Matthew, I'll turn it over and go for it.
Thank you very much. My name is Matthew Walco. I'm with Smith, Duggan, Buell, and Rufo. I represent the Yu Family Trust. With us today is Dan Yu, for the owner of the property, as well as the architect, Clifford Bomer, with Davis Square Architects. This proposal is previously for design review before you and approved back in early 2021. And we're here to seek an extension of the approval, which has a 2 year sunset provision. What happened was 3 months after we were last before you, we had submitted our plans, our application for the building plans, and got the denial from ISD, and we're waiting for the hearing before the Board of Appeal to approve what's called a notice of project change. And what we had proposed to ISD was that we make some changes to the interior of the space, leave the exterior exactly the same as has been approved by the commissioners. And that would change the interior number of units in the current approval that we have from the Board of Appeal, which lasts through the end of March of this year. It's approved for 3 units in the historic residence, which is being, as part of the proposal, moved forward on the lot so it's more prominent on Commonwealth Ave, and adding 3 units to that. And in the addition in the back, which is 6 stories, with the first story being included parking, we would add 10 units to make the total from 16 total units to 26. about leaving the appearance and all the other features that have been approved here the same. One of the things that changed for us during this process was a change in direction from the city and the BPDA is exactly what they wanted us to do. And the pandemic, of course, didn't help any. But what we've arrived at in the small project review process here is to make a commitment to include IDP units as part of the project, which is something that was a priority for the city and the new mayor. And we have engaged with the folks over at the BPDA. We've had several meetings and we're on our way within the next couple of weeks or so to have that process hopefully completed and move on to the next step. And we're very excited to finally have an opportunity to make this important preservation effort part of the Aberdeen district. As you know, perhaps you may recall from the times we've been before you, the property was first constructed in the early 1900s and is an example of the what they call the mission or craftsman style, one of the few that are left in the district, but it really needs a total revitalization, which is included as part of our design proposal. The interior would be essentially taken down to the studs to make it lighter so that it can be moved forward on the lot, making it more prominent in the space. And a number of the key components that you previously wanted preserved are preserved again in this same proposal as before. The porte cochere, the facade of the attached garage, and that sort of design aspects are still part of this. Are as part of this design.
Terrific. So,
any specific comments? Certainly, Mr. Bomer, our architect, or Mr. Yu can address any of those if you have any other questions.
Terrific. Thanks very much, Matthew. So commissioners, I'll turn it back to you. Just a friendly reminder, just to reiterate what Matthew had just mentioned, there are no exterior changes on this property. They're simply returning to us because there were some delays in change of the project. And now they're back here to get another extension. So commissioners, I'll hand it over to you for questions, comments, and then any members of the public that have comments, please hold your comments until the public comment portion of this hearing. Thank you. Nikita, go for it.
Actually gonna pass it to Helen or Kirsten, because I know that this was previously approved, and so I feel like I don't have much to add to that at this point. So I'm going to hand it over.
I just have a couple questions. I think I may have misunderstood something in the presentation, so I just want to make sure. When you were referring to moving the property forward, is it being moved with your new program, is it being moved forward even further than it had originally been proposed, or did I misunderstand that?
No, it's the same.
It's the same proposal.
It was previously, you know, currently it's about 40, 45 feet from the curb. And then you move it up, and I think it's around 15 to 20 feet from the curb.
Okay, so then, so therefore, none of the landscaping elements were presented would be any different. I think I misunderstood that. Okay. I do have a question. When you came before us in January 2021, that was actually to extend the approval that had been given probably 2 years prior to that. And the commission raised some concerns at that point about the condition of the roof, the condition of the building, and preserving it until construction. We recommended doing some sealant ceilings of protective, you know, coating of the exterior. We talked also, there have been concern about vandalism at the site and, you know, entry into the building, and we talked about securing the building. So I'm just curious if any of those steps were taken since that hearing in January 2021.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or what may have been done.
Yep, absolutely. We changed all the locks, the property's been secured as far as I know, and Mr. Yu can certainly speak to this. That problem has been addressed. And as far as the integrity of the building itself, I believe it still is weather tight. Dan, can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, we secured it. We make sure after the initial several years ago, we haven't had no other break-ins that I know of. We have a site person goes there every probably 5 days a week or something to that effect. So all the doors are secured, locks are changed, everything was bolted shut. No other problems ever since.
We also talked about some problems with the roof. And I'm concerned whether there's any water intrusion inside the building. Do you know if that is?
I think the membrane was
stable at this point.
Repaired. Yeah, it was repaired. And so we haven't had any that I know of. From our site person that goes there every few days or every other day or, you know, 5 days a week, whatever. He lets me know anything else is going on.
So you do have someone who is monitoring the site?
Yeah. It varies between 3 to 5 to 6, 7 days, depending upon his schedule.
Okay.
So it's pretty frequent. It's not just okay. Once a week, not months a month. It's several times each week.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Nick, really quick, can you just scroll through the presentation one more time? I just want to. Yep.
Let me know if you want me to focus on anything specific.
No, I just wanted to just refresh a little bit more.
Okay.
That's, are there renderings toward the end?
Take a peek. There we go.
Okay, so it's pretty, so there's a top-down view. Okay, I just wanted to take another look at it.
All right. Any other comments from the commission?
Yeah.
All right. Nikita, do you want to read the blurb about public comment?
Absolutely. Sorry. My dual screen today.
So it's all right.
Computer went to sleep. Let me see. Okay. So members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform, and we will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Public comment is now open.
Now I was unmuted. Rebecca, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Wassell. I live at 1960 Comm Ave. Unless someone is coming by in the middle of the night, I have no idea who's coming by. We walk our dogs out there 3 and 4 times a day. We're near the building. And I literally have never seen anybody except perhaps when they have to treat the sidewalks, which is not done promptly. Often we're skating over the sidewalks while taking the dogs out. Shingles still fall off the roof. There's still light perpetually on in the building that seem to go on kind of randomly. I'm concerned when they say that they've made all these changes. My window looks on this building. I'm on that side of the building and just literally haven't seen these things. So I'm wondering what the response would be to this.
Thank you, Rebecca. the design team. Did you want to comment on that at all?
We have the person going there. I'm not sure what you're alleging, but we have people go there. Person goes there. We pay them, and they go check. They check the snow. They check, especially after the snows, the landscaper, to make sure the landscaper does their work, which does the snow plowing. So there are instances where the person has, you know, said, hey, listen, the landscaper hasn't come back. They've done the snow. He calls them. So.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Rebecca, for your comment there. Let's take another comment here. Ava, I know you're going to have some great comments. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I have been observing this process for years, and one thing that weighs heavily on me is the concern that when the existing house is moved, it can actually sustain damage. It's likely because it will be rolled and, you know, stuck or may crack. And someone mentioned that the ceramic roof tiles have been falling off and so on. So I would very much hope that the commission can ask the developer to submit a full exterior restoration plan for this complex operation that would ensure that you know, the building, once it's actually moved, it ends up being restored on the outside to its original condition, because the neighborhood is going to be putting up with a very, very dense addition. There will be a lot of foot traffic and deliveries and moving trucks and so on. So the very least that we can expect and hope for is that this existing historic building ends up being truly beautiful. And I don't have much confidence that this can be accomplished without some closer supervision from the Aberdeen Commission, from the staff, of course, too. So that's one thing. The other thing I was curious about, I'm glad to see that there is some cornice on the edge of the roof, at least in the picture that I can see right now. But I'm not sure if it's a flat roof or if it's a sloped roof. And if it is sloped roof, is it covering any rooftop mechanicals that are probably going to be there? So I would like, I think we would all benefit from a clarification about that. And a third thing, I can see that the color for the addition is different from the house. And, you know, it's a subjective feeling, but I have a feeling that it would look more cohesive and better if the color was the color of the of what the original building is going to be. Just let's understand one thing. Stucco gets dirty, and the current stucco there is not the original color. It has just decades and decades of dirt on it. I don't know if the developer is going to be pressure washing it or if it's going to be repainting it and whatever. But I just would like to draw everyone's attention to the issue of making the exterior finish of the addition somehow compatible and complementing the restored stucco on the existing house. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ava. Great comments there. Matthew, I know it's been a while since some folks in the neighborhood have reviewed this project. Would you care to just kind of, as a refresher, expand upon some of the questions that Ava had? So the cladding of the material, and then the mechanical equipment and their location, just for clarification purposes.
Absolutely, and Ms. Webster makes excellent points, all of which we've addressed in the original submissions. The Davis Square architects prepared an extensive architectural outline, and Mr. Bomer can address that, which is in the records of the commission, which addressed all of the different aspects of the restoration. Let's take the tiles first. Obviously, the tiles are heavy, and this part of the need for this restoration is to make it because it's going to take a lot of money to do it is to make this economically at least somewhat more feasible than otherwise would be the case. So part of the move will be to lighten the structure by taking out the interior elements, but then you're taking out the tiles, which will be set aside and reused, and where there are gaps or there might be gaps because of the nature of the current tiles, we'll get tiles that are made like them. All of that is subject to first approval by the folks at the Landmarks Commission, such as Mr. Amata. And the finishes as well will be subject to the approval by the commissioners and through Landmarks, because what the process that's envisioned is that we're going to get these samples of the different particular things that are going to be used. And so you'll actually see how it looks. It won't just be, you know, this PDF presentation, but you'll see the actual thing that will be placed on the house. Now, we have had discussions in the past with the commission about exactly how the coloration should be. And the feedback that we received from most of the folks who commented was that the design should highlight and make the historic structure more prominent, so that when you're traveling down or past Com Ave, you'll be able to see it and appreciate it because it is a unique mission style structure. So the thought was to have the addition serve as a backdrop, a palette, so that the historic structure will be more prominent when against it, as opposed to blending in. So it does, I think, different folks have different design aesthetics. I am certainly not someone who is very good on that, but I know somebody who is. So Cliff, if you could comment a little bit more on the different points that Ms. Webster made.
Well, Matthew, you've done, I concur with everything you've said. I mean, I'll maybe launch from where you left it, which is, you're absolutely right that the color was specifically darkened on the addition to really highlight the restored historic building. And, from the very beginning, the idea of the addition is that it tied in with the more modern, larger scale context in height, materials, and kinds of detailing that we're imagining for that building are more related to the larger buildings that are very close by on both sides. So that was intentional. I think it's important what Matthew said, that these are images that look different on my computer than your computer. And the only way we can reach any final consensus on these colors will be through mock-ups that are produced on the site and reviewed. Your question about the, and so I want to speak to two other points. The mechanical equipment, if you look at that roof plan, which is on the right-hand column there, that white kind of T shape in the middle is a depressed section within the tile roof. And that is where mechanical equipment will be. That well will be of sufficient depth so that when you get a perspectival view from the street, you won't see it. So we have no intention of having any visible mechanical equipment associated with this project. As far as your points about moving the structure are excellent. We have engaged structural engineers, and we're a ways from having the documents fully documented. It's important, obviously, to get approvals before you do a complete deep dive. But our intention is a historic restoration of the existing building. And once we lighten the structure, stiffen it adequately to move it. Once it is moved into its new position and put on a new foundation, we will be able to, then we'll engage in restoring the stucco. Usually what that means is routing out cracks, patching the cracks, and we are going to apply a elastomeric coating, a breathable coating on the stucco to really ensure that it is long lasting. So we're very sensitive to that point. It's been the design, the primary design driver from really the very beginning has been the restoration, preservation, and then restoration of the historic piece of the project.
I think we have some views earlier on that show the project from the side, where you can see that the slopes are of the historic and the addition are the same. This next one, A204, you can see how they both have the sloped roof to them.
Yeah, I forgot that part. But no, we're totally on the same page with the point that we just made. It's really been what we've been thinking about for quite a few years now, is making the kind of investment that it's going to take so that we really have, we're presenting a beautifully restored historic building. And all the others that are similar, I've looked back through a whole series of Boston maps, historic maps, and there are very few structures left from this era. We're very pleased to have the opportunity to do it with this one.
That's great. Awesome.
Does the plan include a landscape plan at all?
Yes. Earlier in the presentation, there is a landscape drawing. It's closer to the front, I believe. Do you know the number?
It's pretty early on in the set, it should be.
There it is. L1.
And the windows on the historic building will have mantins, just like the original windows?
Yeah, they will. And there'll be replacements, I think. I don't believe these windows are restorable, but you know, we haven't, as I've said, I think it really is important that what you see is a schematic level set of drawings. We're committed to the layouts, committed to building heights, and all, you know, all the dimensional and bulk aspects of the building that that we would get zoning relief for is locked in. But as far as all of the, you know, minute level of detail, we just haven't done it yet. We haven't done the construction documents yet.
And we can make approvals, as we always typically do, approvals contingent on receiving a copy of those construction documents.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And our firm does many, many, many historic restorations in the city of Boston. And in the South End alone, we've done something like 240 buildings in the South End. And we're very used to the kind of scrutiny that the city and the local historic commissions have and approval power. So we're totally with that and support it.
Yeah, I have a very, I'm sorry, you know, I don't
one,
mean-
One more question.
No, it's okay.
I think it's very important. From the drawing that I see on the screen right now, it appears that this new structure is coming all the way to the property line. And though it is not technically a design issue, but it's a construction and neighborhood issue. How are you going to build a building that will have to utilize your neighbors and the public parkland space to actually bring cranes, scaffolding, materials, everything else? I wouldn't want to be a next door neighbor, suffice it to say.
These are really good questions. The building close to property lines, we're not actually doing that deep of a cut, but anywhere where we would need an earth support system to protect the slope at the property line, we would have to do that. It could take the form of sheet piling or piling lagging. There are various ways of doing cuts very close or even on property lines. So that we don't have that yet. We haven't created yet the complete construction management plan that would describe everything from earth support to mobilizing the contractor, delivery areas, delivery schedules, whether sidewalks need to be rented temporarily. The construction management plan that is required by the city, that's not optional. We need to do that, and it needs to be approved by the traffic, public works, pretty much anybody gets to weigh in on that. We haven't done it yet. That happens typically after we've committed to a contractor. We work with contractors during the bid period. We do get preliminary construction management plans during the bidding phase. It sometimes helps us to pick the best contractor, the one that we think is the best equipped to do the job. We sometimes base that on their construction management plan. So we're not there yet, but it's a required document, and we have always complied, always will comply with those requirements.
But there's physically no room for you to put all the materials and equipment. You would have to be invading the parkland.
Ava, that's out of our purview. We're gonna move on. I'm sorry. Okay, so I just want to make sure that Ms. Ross has, if she has any comments, and then I need to hand it back to the commission. Hillary, do you have any comments for the applicant or the commission?
Thank you so much, Nick. I just wanted to reinforce a bit of what my neighbors have been saying here. I concur with Rebecca. I live here. I am out. I work primarily from home. Many of us work from home. Frankly, I do a bunch of maintaining that property, sir. So to tell me that there's someone on your property 7 days a week is kind of, frankly, laughable to me. I'm picking up dog poop. I'm picking up cigarette butts constantly from in front of and on your property. So I don't think you've addressed when people are actually at the building maintaining it, because those of us who are here would love to know. I concur with things that Ava's saying. I know that pre-COVID, when we had a meeting outside the building with the architects, there was concern about this increase of units to the building and not an increase of sufficient parking. I recall very vividly at the time that one of the lawyers standing there said, who was frankly parked in the driveway, because it's very hard to park here in this neighborhood. And he suggested that people are going to just love moving to the building and giving up their cars. So it didn't matter that there wasn't enough parking for this building, for the amount of expansion it was that they were trying to undertake. So that was never addressed at that meeting. I don't know if it's been subsequently. And further, an issue was brought up at that time by neighbors of it being very clear to all of us who live here that, you know, these units are going to be purchased and then rented to Boston College students. And, you know, you can say they're two bedrooms, you can say they're three bedrooms, but they're going to be broken up into much smaller living situations by students populating the building. That was a concern that was not addressed at that meeting. Again, don't know if it was addressed after. I think one of my largest concerns in terms of, you know, the way that this property has not been maintained. And yes, these pictures are beautiful. It's a beautiful renovation to the exterior. Is that actually how the building is going to be maintained? It's never been maintained up till this point. I wanted to support everything that my neighbors have been saying here.
Thank you, Hillary. All right, so we're going to go ahead. I don't see any other public comment for this application, so we will go ahead and close public comment. Nikita, I'm going to turn it back to you, but before I do that, I just want to let, I'm hearing a common trend in some of these public comments, and I just want to let you know that in accordance on all the folks that are concerned, in accordance with our guidelines, number 11.5, section A about demolition, demolition is not permitted in the district. There are circumstances where things need to come down because of safety reasons. We have no purview over that. There is no plans for demolishing this structure. It seems like they're ready to move forward. And then if something like that would happen, we would explore it in the future. So just wanted to remind everybody of that. And commissioners, I'll turn it back to you. Nikita.
So public comment is now closed. Thank you everyone for weighing in and sharing your experiences with the commission. I wanted to just have a brief discussion with the commissioners if there was any other thoughts or anything else that you wanted to add before we move on to the voting portion.
Oh, and Sharon's here, by the way.
Sherry, sorry I'm late.
Nikita, may I make a comment?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just want just two comments to follow up on Eva's points. I just wanted to confirm what Mr. Walco and Mr. Balmier said about we went through a long discussion on the presentation of the physical presentation of the historic building versus the new building, and the color of the exterior. And, you know, as Cliff said, the exact color may not be exactly what this rendering here shows, but we came to the conclusion that the historic building should be differentiated from the historic building. That's why it's a lighter color, from the new construction. That's, you know, part of the Secretary of the Interior guidelines on historic preservation is that original structure should be differentiated from new surroundings or new additions. So that, you know, it's a subjective matter, but we discussed that and came to the conclusions that were presented. The commission was very concerned about moving this structure forward and the safety of that and having that completed successfully. And, you know, Nick, I'm actually wondering if we included any provisos basically requiring I don't know what the right word would be, that not demolition, but if that process faltered, that the original structure would nonetheless be restored. Do you know if we had any provisos like that that would kind of require them, even if there's some difficulties with moving this forward, that it would be that the original structure would be restored?
So you're asking, you know, what happens if the existing structure cannot be moved forward?
No, I'm asking if during the moving forward,
yep,
you know, there's cracks, there's things that happen that are not expected, and it's not the same as demolition, but there's damage, I guess would be the word. Would they still be required, or did we in our provisos require that they would nonetheless proceed with, if even if that required some kind of further repairs and further, you know, structural remedies?
I would say we did not have any provisos there, but what I will say, and Matthew, I'll let you expand on this though, is that, you know, once the building is constructed, the original building is moved forward, it does need to be inspected by the, you know, in order to get their certificate of occupancy. So they will be looking for things like that. And, the final product will need to be pretty good. Matthew, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, we have the opinion of the Cranshaw Construction Company, they describe the process as actually it may seem like it's unusual, but actually it's not at all difficult. The key for here is to make sure that it's as light as possible, and to strengthen the support in interior inside the building before the move is done. And so once you take off those tiles and you take the building down to the studs, and then you put in those interior supports. Now, I don't know what they're made out of, if they're metal or wood or whatever, how they exactly do it. But at that point, what the contractors are telling us is that it's a very something that's typically done when you engage somebody to move a house of this type. So we haven't, I think, had a specific condition such as was discussed by the commissioner, but you know, that is part of what's the entire plan, because this is a historic preservation, and the entire intent is to preserve that structure and have it prominent in the Aberdeen community.
If I might add to Helen, I think I understand where you're going with that, and I think the what's our responsibility to deliver, and what the commission owns, you know, vis-a-vis the documents, I think is, you know, we're obliged to deliver the building that you see in the documents, you know, with, if a wall falls over when it gets moved, we have to put the wall back up again, because what you own and the public owns through this process is a building that looks just like what we've presented. As far as the kind of damage that is very, I think, predictable, you know, whether it's even through stiffening it in ways that it hasn't been stiff before, where there may be additional cracking in the stucco. We need to fix all the cracks that are there now. There are lots of cracks in the stucco now, and our intent is to do a full restoration of that stucco, whatever condition it's in. But I will support what Matthew said too, that it is common. The procedure is they insert large steel beams underneath the building. They're needles, they're called. They insert these needling beams and then go into the building. And after the weight has been diminished to the greatest degree possible, then it's braced internally, generally just with some additional wood, maybe some plywood shear walls or diagonal bracing, whatever it takes to make it, to, you know, prevent it from really racking in any way that would create a lot of cracking of the finishes. That's what's done. And then it's wheeled. The needle beams are, wheels are attached to the beams, and it's rolled forward, lifted up, rolled forward, and then lowered down onto the new foundation.
Is the developer going to have insurance for this entire operation in case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely required. Any contractor who would take this on would have to have extensive insurance.
David, thank you so much for that question, but we did close public comment.
I'm so sorry. Yes, thank you.
Sorry, I responded to that.
All right. Cool.
Go ahead, Nick.
Nope, I was just going to turn it back to you.
Okay. Does anyone else on the commission have any other feedback, or do folks feel comfortable moving with the voting portion? Hearing no comment. Okay, great. Hearing no comment, we will move on to voting. Is there a motion from a commissioner? I'd like to make the motion that we move forward with approval as submitted. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Say nay. Not hearing any opposed. In application number...
Nikita, I'm abstaining.
Abstain. Oh, I have an abstain. Oh, Helen.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me just see. So we have three yays and
one. Yep. Still passes.
Still passes. Yep. Okay. Nick, I don't have the application number up anymore on my computer. Just my second screen just went up. So
totally fine. 2303546AB.
AP for 1954 Com Ave has been approved.
Terrific.
Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you coming out today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys, I'll get you your approval in the morning. If you have any questions in the meantime, feel free to get in touch with me, okay?
Great, thanks.
Terrific. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. All right, so unfortunately, I did not create the meeting minutes for last month, so we'll have to bypass that. And there are no staff updates, except for the fact that we are interviewing for new commissioners. So I will be in touch with folks that need to be interviewed. So
if I can jump in here, Nick, I do have a question about Jennifer Wilton. Is she still on the roster for possible commissioners?
So unfortunately, she's not, because she does not live in the district. So that was something I had to verify this afternoon. You have to live specifically within the boundaries of the Aberdeen district. Speaking with her, she was an amazing candidate. If we could get her to move a couple houses down.
I understood that that was addressed over 2 years ago, and it was considered a non-issue. So was this a matter of reviewing the wording again? I'm just seeking clarification.
Yeah, of course. No, that's quite all right. This is my my interpretation of the I can go to it too if I have it up here still. But it says specifically that, let me just look in here 1 second. This I don't have it.
Well, that's all right. I don't need to know right now, but we do need more commissioners.
I'll touch base with you tomorrow morning about this, okay? How's that sound?
That's fine. And let me take this opportunity to apologize for being late. I was tied up with library board taxes and lost track of time.
All right.
Can I just ask one question?
Go for it.
Sharon sent an email to me last week. I'm sorry, Sharon, I'm sorry for not responding, but I always worry about that we're not supposed to, discuss among ourselves, but about a development at 1792 Com Ave. I forget the exact address. Sharon, thank you for sending that. I couldn't attend that meeting, but I just was wondering if Nick is aware of that, if he's received anything on that.
1792?
Is that the address, Sharon?
No, I think it was 1789, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
it is 17.
Oh, so that has been presented to us previously.
Yes. So they they're not ready. They came to you under an advisory review, and they're not ready to present yet. So they are they're working their ways through different channels. Yeah.
The photo you sent, Sharon, was more like around the corner. So I thought it was a different proposal for a different building. So I'm sorry. I was confused on that.
Yeah, it was. I just ran across it when I was looking at, projects in the district and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll be coming to us soon. I don't know when. I haven't heard from them. I can shoot them a note and flag them for.
I just was concerned. I thought there was another project like a couple houses down, but so this is the only one on that.
There's one around the corner at 4 Wallingford.
Okay, that's what I mean. That's what I was asking you about.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find any information about that.
Have you heard on anything about, is that one? I thought you were sending a note about last week, Sharon.
I might have been.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that, Nick, something at 4 Wallingford?
Nothing at all. I have not heard of this property.
Okay.
I have heard of this property. I didn't attend that meeting, but I did attend a different meeting. I just want to see once we focus on it. This might be a property that had a fire issue, and I think they might be trying to restore it and maybe add something more. So I can try to get more information, and I'll share that with you guys. But I think
that would be great.
This is the one that had maybe. Go ahead.
Hang on, guys. So we should not be talking about projects outside of hearings. Right. I don't think these people are in front of us yet. So I think that's okay. But mm-hmm. We should not be talking about any properties that might be in front of us because it would be a conflict of open meeting law. So I just want to remind.
I apologize, Nick. It's just this one popped in my head. I'm like, wait, I think I've heard of this. So.
Yeah, if you've just heard it, but I just want to remind everybody that we can't deliberate about any project that's in front of us because it would be considered an open meeting violation.
Okay, it wasn't a deliberation. It was simply, did you know about this?
Perfect. I think that's fine. But just as a friendly reminder, because they want us to make sure that we're all adhering to the rules. Okay. So I have not heard about that project either. So I'll keep an eye out for it. Folks typically reach out to me when these projects start, and I'll give them a preliminary assessment. I'll look forward to hearing something about that. If any of you have questions about any specific projects, you're always welcome to email me. That is not an open meeting violation. So keep that in mind. Yep. Cool. So I think that's it. I don't have anything else. Does anyone have any other questions? Okay. Nikita, I would just need a motion to adjourn, and then you're going to hang on the line after. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Yep. So is there a motion from a commissioner?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Do I have all the ayes? I have an aye. Kirsten? Yes. Great. Then the meeting is adjourned.
All right. Yeah. Great, everybody. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you all soon.
And yes.
Nikita, we'll just chat real quick.